Oh.
Stop.
Charlie and I stopped on the way up.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible.
Here.
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 Everybody make sure your mics are on. Mine wasn't. I didn't notice. Yours is kind of backwards there. There we go. All right. Okay, so the first item on our agenda is a presentation on the emergency proclamation and an update on our winter storm.
Thank you, Madam
Mr.
Chair.
Castro.
Mm-hmm. Council members, good afternoon. It's a pleasure to be here to present on the winter storm in the emergency proclamation. WAC EOC coordination between Blaine and the county was absolutely incredible. We also want to identify some of the impact areas within the city limits, including the emergency declaration in a summary of the next steps to follow from here. Whatcom County activated the Emergency Operations Center on December 20th, 2018 due to the storm that was headed our direction. And so they received notifications from NOAA, National Weather Service, that it was headed in our direction. Those alerts continued throughout the day, throughout the week, between Whatcom County and the Public Works and Public Safety, Law Enforcement, our city manager, and so on. On that particular day in the afternoon, about 1:30, what we did at Public Works is we implemented the Department Operations Center in anticipation of the heavy winds and the potential damage that we could have seen. The reason why we did that is we worked on implementing teams together and then deploying them based on expertise. That made us very effective with our emergency response, including some mutual aid support that we provided during that event. One of the critical areas was the Semiahmoo Parkway. We definitely have some serious beach erosion out there. The road, in essence, in this particular case, was not damaged, unlike the corridor over in Birch Bay. However, some of the armoring, over nearly 700 feet of armoring, you know, that device, that mechanism that was put in place to protect that road, as you can see in some of those photos, is gone. And so we're very susceptible in that particular corridor. This was the day of the storm. This photo was taken shortly after 3 p.m., and so the high tides and the wind came in at us at about 2:45, and you can see the dynamics of what happens when we are in that condition. What's ironic is that we were trying to do the best that we could to close down the road, and so we got those vehicles cleared off the roadway, and we managed to push everything back within its banks and restore that corridor within an hour or so. It was amazing. So we did facilitate coordination with Army Corps, and so there was a gentleman that came in from the Seattle headquarters, and he went in and evaluated that particular area. They're also making commitments to us for design support so that we can go in there and mitigate that particular area. They have also made a commitment to the City of Blaine, to Public Works, that if we have another storm and it has the potential to take out that corridor, that they would be next to our side with resources to help combat that and give us some level of protection. However, that's only a temporary measure, okay? It's not a permanent. And so we do have a strategic recovery plan that is in place, and so we're working with our planners, we're working with engineers, we're working with our directors, our city manager, and other folks. And so, in essence, we're just here to identify what has transpired, the magnitude of the event, the potential cost, and how we're working together as different agencies throughout the state of Washington so that we can get the proper cost estimate statewide, not just here in the city or in Birch Bay. And so there's about a $10 million threshold that has to be reached in order for the governor to proclaim a state declaration emergency. And so we have a deadline, I believe, of Wednesday to get that submitted to our emergency folks so that they can go ahead and move that forward to the governor's level. This particular photo identifies that area that we suspect is very, very critical. All right, it is on the Army Corps' attention. You know, they've drawn attention to this particular area because of the population that it would impact if we were to lose that corridor. And so if we were to lose it, we lose water, we lose sewer, we lose the only access into the resort. And so there's plenty of us folks, including some of the staff in engineering, that are currently meeting with consultants and putting these plans in place so that we're continue to be prepared and ready to go when that time comes when we need to implement some basically some measures, including some funding issues. And so we've had several meetings with our leaders and informing them every step of the way where we're at and what we intend to do. Another critical area is Pipeline Road and the power lines. On that particular corridor, if you've driven that corridor, we have noticed that those utility poles are leaning severely, and it's because of the winds that are coming from the south. This particular windstorm may have caused a little bit more leaning of these poles. I've been out about a month ago, took some photographs, and so we have some very good photographs of before and after. What's really unique about the pole that you're looking at is the pole that I took photos about a month ago. And you don't see it here, but there's some serious cracks that have developed. And so we are currently conducting, or will be conducting tomorrow and Wednesday, an evaluation of the poles and some strategic plan on what to do. This particular corridor was slated for a capital improvement project for 2019, but there's no question that there could be a pole or two that needs to be replaced sooner rather than later. We also have implemented a detour plan for this particular area simply because if we get another very, very strong wind, it could snap those poles. That whole area, the ground is saturated. I'm watching the ground as well as the poles. And there's so many conditions in here that warrant a careful awareness and planning, advanced planning. And so we don't want anybody to get caught in that dynamic. And so we're working with NOAA, Army Corps, Emergency Management, Whatcom County. They've done a great job of alerting us like 72 hours in advance. Our engineer has helped us put together a detour plan. If that happens, we will forward that to our emergency responders so that they know that they have to consider that detour. We'll also provide emergency access if necessary. This road and the power lines are the only power supply for the watershed. And so the watershed is vulnerable. Raven and I are working with our team to implement some additional measures like on-site generation and what have you. So we're doing a wonderful job evaluating, assessing, and putting together a strategic plan for the decision makers to help us prioritize where we're going from here. This is just a particular photo. In this case, it was a damaged vehicle, non-injury. But this was a pretty common theme, not only throughout the city of Blaine, but throughout Whatcom County. And so this really gives you a good understanding of what we were dealing with. When I approached this particular scene, we had crews that were trying to clear a lane of travel. Wind was over 35 miles sustained. I was concerned about their safety. I actually pulled them off and had them relocate their particular vehicle. Within moments of that vehicle, like within seconds, 2-3 seconds from that vehicle, our vehicle, being moved, we had other trees that came down. And so we had to exercise precaution during this whole emergency situation. Every one of these events or situations was assessed to the best of my ability for the crew safety and the public safety. And what you don't see here is, of course, the crews or the law enforcement personnel that were out there providing us assistance and basically keeping everybody away from these hazard areas. And again, this is another tree at Semiamu. It basically took us approximately about a week and a half to clear all the debris off the corridors. The initial response on day number one, because of the magnitude and the widespread event and limited resources, the best that we could do is really go through the entire city block by block, determine what we needed to do to at least get emergency responders to every neighborhood. And so you may have heard, that initial day we didn't get everything cleared out. In essence, it was impossible. based on all the things that we were responding to. It was power, it was sewer, it was water facilities, it was sewer facilities. It was a lot of coordination, and quite frankly, I think we did a remarkable job with the limited resources that we had, and that included some support that we provided to other agencies. And so the declaration itself does support countywide effort for reimbursement through the state, potentially even through FEMA. The governor may declare the state of emergency based on that $10 million threshold. There's a plea currently coming from Whatcom County for all the agencies to get their preliminary damage assessment reporting in by Wednesday. And so my guess is, based on my peer groups that I'm working with, that this has a magnitude that will exceed over $10 million just with one particular agency. And so many of us are working behind the scenes to prepare our documents to have them submitted by Wednesday. City of Blaine did submit an initial preliminary damage assessment. However, during our following days, we found other sites that also were damaged, and so I need to enter those cost values into the report, have Raven review that, and then we'll have that submitted by Wednesday afternoon before the deadline. And so again, like I explained, final damage assessment is still ongoing. And then we're also working with consultants, because any in-water work or work associated with the waterfront does require some significant permits. And so I don't want to get into all the details. I just want you to know that there's a lot of folks within your organization that are working diligently. They understand their directions, and we're executing flawlessly, in my opinion. There will be some recovery without question. That 700 feet of repair area and armoring is going to come with a very heavy expanse. And so this is the reason why I initiated the Department Operations Center. This is the reason why I communicated and created those summaries and communicated to the leaders, called out, reached out to the Army Corps, because I don't know the magnitude of cost. Okay, I'm not an engineer, and it's gonna take a few days to put that overall cost together after somebody comes up with a design. The truth of the matter is that corridor has been susceptible to this type of damage for many, many years. And I've been up and through the corridor, including last night, taking a look at some recovery efforts from previous years in Bellingham along the bay. And so when I look at that recovery effort, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking it's going to be a few million dollars. And so this is why we communicate to emergency folks, so that they understand the damages that we sustained. So if there is a declaration, we have access to reimbursement. And I want to make that clear, we have access to reimbursement. And so regardless, whatever we do, we have to utilize our own dollars and then request that that reimbursement. And so this is why all of these steps are absolutely necessary, because if we move forward and implement or mitigate the permits, then there's no possibility whatsoever for this organization, the City of Blaine, to recoup any of their losses. Mm-hmm. So that's an area that we're spending a lot of time in concentrating our efforts on, to make certain that we're crossing our T's, dotting our I's. And then, of course, once we truly have designs and permitting in place, and then we're going to go ahead and attack it with what I hope would be a permanent repair. Thank you.
Thank you, Sam, and a huge thank you to the whole crew, Public Works crew. I can't express that enough, and I'm sure I speak for every single one of us. Any questions from council or Sam about the process?
I've got one more point, and so mm-hmm. thank you for bringing that up. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to overlook, and I did in my presentation, the crews and the support that we received citywide. Mm-hmm. Absolutely stellar. Okay, I was very proud to be amongst that particular group. When I announced the Department Operations Center, I also told them, made it clear, we're all emergency responders, and it doesn't look like any of us are going to go home this evening. And so I also made it clear that they needed to reach out to their families or loved ones to make certain that they were fine. If they were had sustained damage in their homes or what have you, then in essence, we were going to release those folks and then call the county EOC for additional resources. All right. And so another area, again, I didn't really go into detail to explain. It was Birch Bay that pleaded for help. There were other folks that pleaded for our support. And as we were breaking crews clear, we provided some support, and it was very much so appreciated. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay. Any questions? Or
mm-hmm. Did you have a question? I just wanted to add something real quickly. Raven happened to be on vacation when this happened, much deserved vacation. Totally appropriate. And I just wanted to comment that I was just so pleased and to know that we had Sam there stepping in and taking the helm when he was, you know, there and Raven was not. The crew, I've heard only nothing but positive things about their response, and Sam was really complimentary to them. So it was really nice. I knew that it was potentially really bad stuff going on and the need for, you know, response and you know, just a teamwork, and they took care of it. They did really a tremendous job. The important thing for me in all of what's happening here tonight was for you to be aware of the extent of some of the things that went on and the fact that we were in some ways very lucky compared to Birch Bay, but we weren't far from them with potential damage. And fortunately for us, it mostly stayed potential damage, but we're paying full attention to the issue.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And like Michael said, the potential is there. I would like to point out, though, the repair that we did from the 2015 storm held up really well. So, you know, these investments that we're making into our infrastructure, the liquidity, if you forgive the pun, of the shoreline culture, that, the way that things work with wave action and tide, are so random. And so we really were very fortunate this time around. And the comment that Sam made about reimbursement, I think, is also really important to understand that, you know, yes, we take care of life and public safety first, and we come back and we kind of incrementally do what we can to stabilize the situation, but we don't want to do so much that we're not eligible for a potential FEMA claim, if you will. So we're certainly tracking our costs because we might have reimbursement for some of that overtime and so forth. But the laws relating to FEMA and how reimbursement works are very limiting. And so you can't, just as an example, you know, the best fix might be to totally rebuild Semiahmoo Parkway or put it up on as a bridge, you know, or something like that. Well, there's not a bridge there now. They won't approve a bridge. They will only approve to the point at which it was before. Now, if we come up and that bridge is the best design and we want to pay the difference, there's arrangements that can be made in that regard, but it's a very painstaking process. And so we're handling it incrementally as our resources allow. And I can't reiterate enough how happy I am that I could be on vacation and feel like the department was in good hands.
A good test.
It was awesome.
This is why we have healthy fund balances, too, to tide us. This is what reserves and healthy balances are about.
This afternoon, because I thought you might want to know, but we ended about $400,000 in reserves in the stormwater fund. So
stormwater.
That's the
All right.
capital reserve. So if we were to look to a future capital project, that's what we have to draw from. Unfortunately, if you look at what our mandatory operating reserve is, it would be a much smaller number, because obviously that stormwater fund is our smallest fund. Mm-hmm. But we do have some capital reserves if we need to reach into them this year.
And that's good. Even with getting reimbursed, we still have to spend the money first. So we want to make sure we've got it to spend. Any other questions?
Just one comment. I want to make sure that we keep in mind communicating with the tribes if it's applicable on that Semiahmoo corridor.
Okay. Next, it looks like we're going to go into an executive session, and the topic will it be personnel or real estate, or I think it says personnel. Okay. And how long do we anticipate this will be? Half an hour? Okay. So we will recess for executive session and come back. Will there be any action? No action. Okay. All right. So we should be back in about a half an hour. Okay, council is back in session after an executive session. And unless there's any further business, meeting is adjourned.